This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Perhaps the most important discovery in biblical archaeology made during the 40-year tenure of this radio program was announced 30 years ago. An inscription mentioning the House of David was discovered in secondary use on the edge of the plaza at the Iron Age Gate of Tel Dan in northern Israel. 3 years later, I had the opportunity to put this discovery in its biblical context during a conversation with Anson Rainey, who was at that time on the faculty of the University of Tel Aviv Institute of Archaeology. He said the House of David inscription should be dated to 841 BC, a little over 100 years after the time of David.
The reason I'm suggesting this date is that the excavators at Tel Dan found two more fragments to be added to that inscription. It would appear, if they have placed these fragments in the correct position, that the fragment contains the last half of the personal name of the king of Israel, and also the last half of the personal name of the king of the house of David. Now, the first king mentioned has the final element, Ram, so it looks like we must have here Jehoram or Joram, the second son of King Ahab. The other one, Ahaziah, was at this time the king of Judah. His father had died not long before of a serious disease. His father's name was also Joram, incidentally, and his uncle, the brother of Joram, king of Israel, had also been named Ahaziah. He had fallen from a balcony and lost his life. But now these two kings are mentioned together in a context that has to do with someone being slain. It's very broken right at that point. But we know from the biblical account that Jehu, the commander of the army of Israel, had been incited by the prophets to raise the standard of revolt. And on one day, near the biblical town of Jezreel, Jehu had assassinated both Jehoram and Ahaziah. So for both of their names to apparently appear in an inscription, and if you have a man who's called King of Israel, and it ends in the element Ram, and another man called the King of the House of David, and his name ends in Yahu, it could hardly be any other but these two, Joram and Ahaziah, from all the kings that we know in the biblical account. Now that assassination took place in 841. And this we're certain of because in that same year, not too long after the assassination, the Assyrian monarch Shalmaneser III embarked on a campaign to our area and mentions that he received tribute from Jehu. So Jehu was already on the throne by 841. After that, many readers will remember how he arranged to assassinate all of the prophets of Baal in the temple that Ahab had built to Baal in Samaria, cleansing the kingdom of all of the influence of the cult of Baal and all of the influence of Queen Jezebel, who was also slain on that same day that the other two kings met their death. So Jehu was in no position at the time to concern himself with the military conflict in which his country was engaged with the king of Damascus. And the Bible tells us then that Hazael, king of Damascus, began to cut off parts of Israel, especially in Transjordan, in league with the Moabites. But obviously now, the Upper Galilee, the Hula Valley, and the site of Tel Dan, where this Aramaic inscription was found by a man who claims to be a king who is led by Hadad, who was the god, of course, of the Arameans. So the victory stela, of which these are only fragments, must have been put up sometime at Tel Dan as a reminder to the populace that Hadad had given a victory to this Aramean monarch. The name is not preserved on the inscription, but it would have to be Hazael, the king of Aram Damascus. With this as the background, we should also mention another find, this time in a museum, of a reading, The House of David. This is on the bottom lines, the broken, very broken bottom lines of what's known as the Moabite Stone, which is in the Louvre in Paris. The epigrapher, André Lemaire, had gained access to the papier-mâché squeezes that were made over a century ago of the Mesa stone before it was smashed into pieces by the local residents. And by using those, examining them carefully with special photography and with magnifying glass, he was able to discern that there was a similar reading, House of David, Beit David, in a context in which the king of Moab was ordered by his god to go to a place called Horonaim in order to engage in battle. Horonaim is in southern Moab. And we are aware from 2 Kings chapter 3 that that same Yoram, the king of Israel, had gone with Jehoshaphat, the grandfather of that same Ahaziah, to invade southern Moab. The invasion failed because of certain events. The son of, one of their allies, the king of Edom, apparently was sacrificed on the wall, and the armies were left there exposed when the Edomites abandoned the conflict, and they had to withdraw without it regaining the territory that the king of Moab had won. So we now have two references to the house of David.
For those who have just joined us, we're talking with Anson Rainey of the Tel Aviv University Institute of Archaeology about the House of David inscription, the more famous one found at Tel Dan, and another one identified with the Moabite stone. Now, the two kings that are mentioned in the Tel Dan inscription, Jehoram and Ahaziah, may not be that well known to our listeners, but Jehu and Jezebel certainly are. Your dating of this at 841 puts it in a very interesting time in the history of the Kingdom of Israel and the Kingdom of Judah.
This was a period of conflict with the rising power of Damascus. This man Hazael usurped the throne there by assassinating his master, having been informed of this possibility by a messenger from Israel, the prophet Elisha. Therefore, the new regime of Jehu was also bringing an end to the house of Omri, to the age of Ahab and Jezebel, and the strong influences from Phoenicia. The discoveries are timely for biblical history because of recent discussion in this decade on the part of a particular circle of scholars who don't believe that anything in the Bible was written before the age of Ezra and Nehemiah, who give no credence to anything in the Book of Kings, and who have denied that there ever was a united monarchy under David and Solomon. Therefore, when these epigraphic references to a house of David were discovered, it, of course, was devastating to their theory, because it shows that in the 9th century, somewhere between 853 and 841, the neighboring nations knew the dynasty in Jerusalem as the house of David, which would show that the dynasty claimed to be founded by a figure called David. This, in the eyes of these scholars, is unthinkable because David is supposed to be a sort of a legendary fiction like King Arthur and therefore could not have existed. Some of them have tried to explain the word which we read as David, which is with a D, a W, and another D, as a word for uncle named Dod, and to try to apply that as the name of a deity who was called Dod. I've recently had occasion to refer to this whole syndrome as the cult of the dodo. Today, it's pretty well being laughed out of court. To go to any extremes to avoid admitting that at this time, the dynasty in Jerusalem was called the House of David. Today, from many lines of evidence, we can show that the references reflect something well known in the area at that time, namely that there had been a monarchy under King David. Then that would naturally include his son, King Solomon, for whom we as yet have not found any extra-biblical attestation. Still, we can now look at these documents, especially the records in Kings, and I believe also in the Book of Chronicles, as being dependent upon sources that were written more or less contemporary with the events that they record. In Judah, there was a circle of prophets who kept track of the history from reign to reign. In Israel, there was another circle of prophets who kept track of the reigns of the various kings. And each of these circles of prophets were concerned also with the neighboring dynasty or dynasties. And often they give dates coordinating the reign of a king in the north with the years of reign of a king in the south. So there were two documents cited by the Book of Kings in particular, the Chronicle of the Kings of Israel and the Chronicle of the Kings of Judah. And I have no doubt that those two documents were combined sometime after the fall of the Northern Kingdom, when an editor decided to put together a running narrative, weaving into one narrative the story of the North and the story of the South, until the fall of the Northern Kingdom, and then his story continues only as the story of Judah. But the idea that Jerusalem even was not an important city as a political entity until the reign of King Hezekiah, that's a pet theory of this particular circle of what I would call hypercritics or mirror fundamentalists, who go to such extremes to explain away any evidence that contradicts the theory. Obviously, if there was a king of the house of David involved in military affairs and can be mentioned in the Moabite stone across the other side of the Dead Sea, or in an Aramean stela found at Tel Dan, then the kingdom of Judah was a parallel political entity that had to be dealt with. These same scholars don't doubt the existence of the king of Israel. They have no choice because the Assyrian monarch, Shalmaneser III, mentioned in a campaign of his in 853 that one of the opponents was Ahab the Israelite. In a later campaign, in the year 841, he mentions receiving tribute from Jehu, who he calls the son of Omri, ironically, unless Jehu might have been a member of some other branch of the Omride family, an idea that has been suggested, but at this point cannot be documented.
One of a handful of memorable interviews with a giant in biblical archaeology, Hanson Rainey. He was a reluctant interviewee, but a great source of information and perspective. This conversation was from 1996. Hanson Rainey was Professor Emeritus of Ancient Near Eastern Cultures and Semitic Linguistics at Tel Aviv University when he passed away in February of 2011. He had a wide-ranging career and is best known for his work on the Amarna tablets. Keeping up to date on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology is a little easier with this program and also with our Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. You can find out how to subscribe at radioscribe.com. There you'll also find information on our next Israel Archaeology Adventure Tour in November 2024 and breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.